Welcome once again to the chat room. Nice to have your company. This is, as I say all the time, the fastest 28 minutes on television. And we grab a big topic and we spend 28 minutes racing through all the important things to say. Well, I don't actually. The man who does is the Dean of Sydney, Philip Jensen. Philip, welcome
back. Hello,
Kel. A lot of work for you to do today in this 28 minutes. The topic is the topic of prayer. Do you ever have a quote that haunts you when you're trying to work out where it comes from? It happened to me today. I was trying to work out where the words, "more things are wrought by prayer than this world knows of," come from. And so I looked it up on the web, Googled it, the magic of Google. It was Tennyson, Alfred Lord Tennyson, 19th century. It's a great expression. And prayer is enormously powerful. We're constantly told that prayer is the greatest untapped power in the world. So give us a definition. What is prayer?
Here's a definition that needed a definition. It's articulating faith.
Right. Now we'll ask him to explain that.
Yeah. it's faith speaking.
Right.
That is, faith is relying or depending or trusting. And prayer is speaking out your reliance, your dependence, your trust.
So I'm speaking to God trustingly.
Yes. And so therefore it's asking God things. There's not one Greek or Hebrew word for prayer, there's about six or seven.
Right.
But all of them are the everyday non-religious words for asking.
In fact, the English word pray means to ask.
Yes.
You know, it's an old-fashioned word now. We don't use it except when petitions are presented to Parliament.
Yeah, I want to say, I pray thee.
But it means ask, doesn't it?
That's all the word means, is to ask. But to ask somebody something has built into it a whole set of assumptions that the person could give it to me, the person would be willing to give it to me, that I have sufficient relationship to be able to approach the person to give it to me. And so it's an expression of your dependence upon God to ask him for things.
Okay. How do we do it? Is there such a thing as the right way to pray?
Yes and no. Yes, in that you pray to God as your Father. You pray to God on the basis of Jesus' death and resurrection. And to do so is to pray in the Spirit. Because only the Spirit will persuade you that Jesus' death is for you, and only the Spirit will persuade you that God is your Father.
So it's Trinitarian. Father, Son, and Spirit
are
all involved.
In prayer. Yeah. Because of the Spirit within me, I have confidence in the name of Jesus to approach God the Almighty and call him Father. So that's the right way to pray. It's not wrong to pray to Jesus, but there's only a couple of examples in the New Testament. Stephen, when he sees Jesus in heaven, he's actually seeing him. Or come Lord Jesus, Maranatha, at the end of 1 Corinthians. But otherwise, they don't pray to Jesus. Nor do you pray to the Holy Spirit. It's not wrong to. You pray to God as Father, because it is his fatherly power, authority, and his fatherly kindness that he will give to his children. And prayer is very, very much a child's activity. It's trusting mum and dad to give me what I need.
Does that mean it's fairly conversational?
Yes. And that's why, on the other side, no, there's not a right way to pray.
Right, okay.
Because it's just talking, it's just asking. You can ask for anything in a sense, in any way. You can be just asking God and you can just talk to him. Naturally, there's no special prayer language.
We don't have to use Elizabethan English or
language. We don't have any these thous or anything like that, unless you normally speak in these and thous. Then
don't need to kneel, stand,
no,
hold
hands,
up your hands, clasp your hands.
No posture particularly. I mean, there's no posture that's wrong. I pray in bed, horizontal. That's not wrong. But you can fall down on your face. The scriptures have people falling on their face, kneeling, bowing, standing, holding up hands. There's any number of postures. There's no one posture that is right. And so it's not a tone of voice. You don't have to speak with a particular. Nor is there any length of time that's important. You know, people get very impressed when they hear someone spends 3 hours in prayer. God's never impressed.
Yes.
When they spend 3 hours in prayer. He doesn't listen to you because you've spent 3 hours as opposed to 3 minutes or 3 seconds in prayer. He listens to you because you are genuine in what you've asked.
In fact, if we are spending 3 hours in prayer in order to impress God, Presumably we're getting it wrong.
Absolutely, because we're not coming on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that he has won for us. So if you come in Jesus' name, there is nothing you can do to impress God or coerce God or help God to give you. You just come in because Jesus has died for you. So, yes, if you come to impress God, you will not be listened to.
But it's a conversation. We talk to God, our loving Heavenly Father,
yep,
through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us because the Spirit is indwelling us and moving us to do that. Do Christians, on the whole, pray enough?
Well, yes and no on that one too. I can do a yes and no all day today, can't I? On the no side, no, of course you don't. Never do. Pray without ceasing. Paul talked of praying ceasing. So any time, every moment is a good time to be praying to God. But yes, in the sense that you don't have to pray for many hours. You pray as you need to. And it doesn't take hours and hours and hours to tell God something. If you're a person who talks a lot, I guess you'll pray a lot. If you're a person who don't talk much, I guess you won't pray much. But the person who doesn't pray much because they don't talk much is not less prayerful.
Right. Very short prayers are sometimes not a bad idea.
No, they're very real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just walking into what I know is a difficult meeting. I've been known to pray with my eyes open, so I didn't bump into anything. this is going to be hard. Please help.
Yes.
And that's a desperate, heartfelt prayer, yes, I can tell
that's
you.
That's right. And whereas formality in prayer can, yes, really unwind you. So I'm often at meetings, we often close in prayer. You realise it's a formality when you, like me, they go to a parents and citizens meeting at school, as I used to go to PNC meetings, and they'd say, we'll close the meeting, and I'd stand up and bow my head. Look around sheepishly.
It's really awkward. You go to Rotary and they don't begin in prayer. No. You know, what's wrong?
And at this point, you realise you're doing it out of a formality.
Yes, which we mustn't fall into.
Yeah.
Talking about that, what about written prayers? Some people are distressed by the idea that you can take words written either by yourself or by someone else and pray them and be a real prayer. You should only be, as we do in conversation, making up the words as you go along. Good or bad, right or wrong?
Yes, it's, we're still in the yes and noses on that one, you see. Just praying extemporaneously will tell you what's on my heart, which is what God wants to hear. But it is important that I reframe my heart to pray that which is right. So if I ask God to give me the power and the strength and the might and the will to murder you, I haven't really understood the mind of God very
right.
well.
And I'm not really praying in the spirit.
No. It may be what is really on my heart. It's not hell, but it may be. But just because it's really on my heart doesn't make it a right thing to be praying.
Yes, yeah.
And so a moment's reflection of opening up the scriptures, of working out exactly what it is I want to ask that would be according to the will and plan of God is a good thing to be doing. And secondly, when I'm leading you in prayer, it's important that I pray something that you can say amen to.
Something that's relevant for us.
Us both, but also true.
Yep.
See, it's a dreadful thing when you're sitting there and someone's leading you in prayer and they pray something heretical.
Yes.
And you're supposed to say amen, and what you really want to say is, no, please don't, Lord. This would be an awful thing to do.
Yes.
So by writing, especially corporate prayers or public prayers, by writing them out, you actually make sure that what you're praying is in accordance with the scriptures and would be what the congregation itself should want to pray. But the trouble is, it's very hard to write prayers out without losing genuineness, without losing reality. As you write, you start to write in flowery language to impress the hearers. It
becomes a performance.
It becomes a performance. Mm. Or you like to demonstrate your capacity for being able to weave 35 different texts of the scriptures from all kinds of different parts of the world. So it's a really impressive prayer.
Yes.
Any prayer that impresses man is not listened to by God.
Yes.
And yet the writing can lead you into that direction. Or it can lead you into preaching, as you make the points for the congregation that they need to know. Oh God, please make these people listen to your word tonight. Make us listen to your word tonight. You're not really praying to God, and that can happen extemporaneously. It tends to happen more as people
write prayers,
and then sometimes it just becomes a formality, especially the ones that are said often. I found one of the problems as a minister in the early years of my ministry, reading prayer book services, that if I stopped to think what the prayers were saying, I always made mistakes in the words. Whereas if I moved into automatic mode, I could say it with the right rhythm and cadence to make the sentence and make sense for the congregation.
Yes, yes.
But my mind wasn't in it.
I don't know whether this makes any sense, but sometimes when I've found it difficult to get started praying, I say the Lord's Prayer, and it sort of
opens,
tunes me in or gets me started talking to God in the right... Now, I don't know what's going on there, but...
I think that last illustration of mine and that illustration of yours just shows how weird our minds are.
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with rights or wrongs or praying. We're all individuals. How our mind works, how our brain, how our speech works, God listens to us.
Yep, yep.
Whoever we are.
He's dealing with individuals.
Yes.
Wherever we are and whatever our needs are. I've got a lot of questions I need to ask, but let me throw you a problem it just occurred to me now, because I've come across it recently where people don't seem to understand what the word prayer means. I've had two instances where people were supposed to be praying and they addressed us.
Yes.
It was at a wedding, they'd written a prayer and they stood up.
Yes.
And they addressed the couple getting married, and on another occasion, these people, they addressed the congregation.
Yes. And sometimes they'll talk about God as if he's a third person.
Yeah.
Now, when the whole nature of prayer is you're talking to him as a second person.
I thought, this is nuts. This is not what I understand prayer to be.
Yeah, that's quite right.
So it does, people can get confused about what prayer actually is, can't
yes,
they?
Yes, very much so, in terms of the actual doing of it and leading others in it. One of the great failings that I've always tried to teach people, but it's very hard to get... When you're leading in prayer, the word to use is we, not I.
Yes.
And then everyone says, well, I want Lord, and then you wind up praying, I want Lord for them or for...
Yes, and then you're praying for them, in front of them, not with them.
Yes. The person leading in prayer is that. You know,
you sort of need to embrace everyone and say it's us.
Yes. It's not that they are praying, it's they are leading in prayer.
Right.
And therefore the word to start with is we ask...
But it's spoken to God, it's not spoken to people.
Right.
Okay, let's go to the question of motivation. Why do we pray?
Because the Holy Spirit lays it on our hearts to pray. Because he teaches us that God is our Father upon whom we depend. And so we pray because God invites us to pray and teaches us to pray. He is our Father who wants us to come into his presence and make our request known to him. And so therefore, we pray because we're commanded to pray. Pray at all times without ceasing. And it's interesting how often God has to command us to do things that are for our benefit. It's like taking the Sabbath day. It's for our benefit, but he actually has to command it.
It's almost like as though he says, clean your teeth. It's for your good, but
you need to be told
to do it.
That's right. Yes. And so prayer is a little that way. But it is the Spirit of God who puts it into our hearts and minds to be praying to God. And then we pray because every now and then we come across life's situations where we can't make it ourselves. And so we turn to prayer then. Now that's a slight silliness, frankly. I think I'm healthy, so I don't pray to God. I could have cancer right now. If you were the doctor and said, Philip, you have cancer now, I'd start praying to God.
Yes.
And so it's the circumstances of life that strip away our normal securities.
We think we can cope. Suddenly we run into something and we realise we can't cope, and we need
pray.
God's help.
Now, we needed it beforehand.
We just didn't realise it.
We just didn't realise it.
Yes.
And so in a sense, we should pray out of a discipline. Because whether I feel healthy or sick, I need to be asking God to continue to give me the life and health that I have or haven't got. And if I don't pray by discipline, if I only pray when I feel like it because of the circumstances of life, then I miss out a lot on the values of prayer.
Brings me back to another how question. Set times for prayer? Good idea or a bit? There'll be a yes and no answer, won't there?
Of course. It's a discipline.
Right.
Some of us are very highly disciplined people, and we can't imagine how people could pray without that. Others, I've got an arts degree from the University of Sydney. There's not a bone of discipline in my body. And so it's when I feel like what I will. But that's a personality difference between people. It's neither right nor wrong. Any time is a good time for prayer. Whenever is a good time to pray. Certainly, I was raised in the discipline of always thanking God for food.
Yes.
And I that, you know, I never miss out on food. I love food. So therefore, I'm constantly being reminded just by eating to be prayerful to God. Thanksgiving, by the way, is not prayer.
Ah.
Prayer is asking.
Right, right.
Thanksgiving is saying thank you.
Right.
And so the scriptures keeps on talking about pray with thanksgiving.
So you do two things. You add this to that.
Yes.
Right.
So whenever you ask God, you should ask God with thanksgiving.
Right.
So that's why prayer is not just speaking to God, because thanksgiving is speaking to God. Prayer is asking.
Right, right.
And then you do it with thanksgiving. So there are advantages in having little disciplines and routines to life. There are the legalistic disadvantages that most of us know about.
Because prayer is asking God for things, what should we expect when we pray?
We should expect that God will hear us and will act in the way which is right for us.
He will act in the way that his wisdom and his knowledge and his love says is best for us.
Yes, and his mercy and his graciousness and generosity.
So I've got a friend who's got multiple sclerosis. Lovely woman, young woman, talented woman, Christian, and what I want to do is pray that God will heal her multiple sclerosis. It tends not to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Is it right for me to pray that or not?
Absolutely right. There is nothing too big for God to fix, and there's nothing too small for God to be concerned about.
Right.
So every hair on our head is numbered. And God created the universe and parted the Red Sea and raised his son from the dead. So there's nothing that God cannot do, and there's nothing that is too unimportant for God.
Right.
So should I pray for a car space, a parking space? Yes. Is God concerned about whether I've got a car spot on? Concern's a strong word, but yes. I mean, whatever is my concern is God's concern. Now, will he give me a car spot? No, maybe not. Maybe he'll teach me to catch the public transport or to leave earlier by not giving me a car spot. But he has heard my request, and he will do that which is best for me, graciously, generously, and righteously.
So what do you say to the people who say, my prayer was not answered? So
the answer is, you did not like the answer. That's the answer. Right. God answers. Can be yes, can be no, can be wait. But he answers. You may not hear his answer, but he answers.
It will turn up in the circumstances, turn up what happens.
Now, sometimes, of course, he doesn't answer. If you pray out of sinfulness, he won't answer.
Right.
So if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not listen to my prayers, the psalmist says. Yeah.
So your prayer about having the strength to murder me is not going to work?
No.
No, okay.
No. But he'll hear me.
Yes.
But he will not hear in the sense of heed what I've asked for.
But if I ask for something which is a good thing,
yes,
like healing my friend from multiple sclerosis, and he doesn't, I need to say that's the answer, at least for the time being.
That's
he might
right.
answer it next week, but for the time being, that's
the
answer.
For the time being, that is the answer, and that will be the best in the situation. Now, I can't see how it's the best in the situation, but then again, I'm not God. It's one of the characteristics I like to point out to you often. And so, of course, I can't see why things are the best.
Right.
But given the judgment of God, given the sinfulness of mankind, given the fact that he is continuing this world and not bringing it to an end, the world is going to be messy.
Does that mean I need to put in a footnote to every prayer and say, well, but of course only what you want, not what I want? Or can I just say, look, I'd really like this person healed, and just that's what I'm doing?
I'm
nothing
having a
more.
Great day of yes and no's, aren't I? To both end on this occasion. Not yes and no, both end. That is, every prayer must be prayed under the heading, not my will, but your will be done.
Right.
Because prayer is faith articulated. I'm saying, Lord, Heavenly Father, please help with this situation.
It's a request, not a command. I'm not saying,
absolutely.
God, you've got to do this for me.
And how God will do it, I don't know. And good enough for the Lord Jesus to pray, not my will, but your will be done. It's good enough for me to be praying, not my will. When people say you must never pray that, I think, well, that's pretty tough because Jesus did. And so every prayer comes under that heading of not my will, but your will be done. I'm asking God to take over in this situation. However, there is nothing wrong with me telling God what it is I would like him to do.
Mm.
And doesn't matter what it is. So I must tell him what's on my heart. If my heart's desire is to murder you, I should tell him that. And I should ask him to help me do it. He won't. But rather, he will continue to work in sending others along to me to remind me of the commandments about you shall not murder and other things like that in his care and love for me. He will not give me that which is evil, even if I should ask for it. But he hears me. Now, therefore, I should ask for anything, whatever I need. If I'm a person of the Spirit of God, I will not be asking for three Rolls Royces, and I won't ask for those things. If I do, I shouldn't be expecting God's going to give them to me anyway.
Yeah, well,
but if that's what I want
I should ask
from my Father, I should ask.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with asking for anything. There's no promise I will get those things. There are promises I will get some things. I will get forgiveness. Right? I will get wisdom, because James chapter 1 promises that. So if you ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus, you will be forgiven. You ask for wisdom, you will be given wisdom. You may not like wisdom when you get it, because it'll teach you not to do all kinds of things you like doing before. But
and if you're starting off from a low point, you may need more wisdom as you go
absolutely,
along.
Absolutely. But there is an error with not my will but your will be done. That is, for some people, it's a cop-out to because we don't really believe God can do it.
So in fact, what's failing is their trust at that point.
Yes. So your friend with MS, I say, MS can never be cured. Therefore, I'll pray, if it be your will, cure her.
Right.
When I'm really meaning, I don't think it's going to happen.
Mm.
I should pray, Heavenly Father, we want her completely cured. Now, that prayer, like every other prayer, is under the heading, not my will, but your will be done. But I'm actually telling God what I really do want. What I really want is that she would be cured. Now, I may want other things too. I may want that she learns patience, that we learn how to help her
live. So that we become more caring and more yes. pastoral.
Yeah. But there's a whole range of people. Great people. Mr. Barclay used to write books about prayer, and they were dreadful books, because he said prayer never changes the circumstance of life. Prayer just changes the prayer.
So he's not trusting God to change the circumstances of life.
He was saying God can't even.
Mm.
He said that God cannot suspend the natural order. A very deistic view of prayer. But what God does, he changes the prayer to enable us to cope with the circumstances of life.
So he's fallen into a trap that we must avoid.
Yes. We've got to say God can cure this person of anything. He may choose not to, but he can. Therefore, I ask him to. Now, the other end of the spectrum is people who say, oh, well, God promises he will. So all I've got to do is name it and claim it. And so this cancer is of the evil. Therefore, God, heal it, cure it. Okay, it's going to be cured. Throw your medicines away, you're cured. Well, that name it and claim it is not asking God anything. That's arrogance. That's telling God what is. And some people I've noticed recently have given up asking altogether. What they do is when you're at a prayer meeting with them, they thank God for the things that haven't yet happened.
Right. On the assumption that whatever is in their mind is going to happen.
Yes. They're so persuaded that they can direct the activities of God. Instead of asking God, please heal my friend with MS, they at the prayer meeting they'll say, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that MS has been cured already.
Mm. The relationship is falling apart because
yes.
we are not God. God makes the decisions and God has the power, and we approach him as children he loves.
That's right.
Asking him.
Yep. We've got to approach him as the almighty powerful one whose will is to be with us. They're approaching him as the powerful one who has no will, can be just directed. He's like an electric current. You know, you can plug in to the power point, switch the switch on, it will happen.
So it's got to be personal. It is our personal relationship with God, and it's a relationship of trust, and we really trust him to do anything, and we ask him to do anything.
Yes.
But we are asking.
We're asking, and because we're asking, we're saying, nevertheless, what you want is more important than what I want.
What about praying for our unbelieving friends? Because I've had the experience of having a non-Christian friend, not a churchgoer, got a problem, and I say, I'll pray for you, and they're very pleased. They seem happy about it.
prayer is I think, underutilized by Christians in terms of our relationship with our neighbours and friends. Because I've noticed over the years, whenever people have talked to me about a problem, sickness and illness, I say, would you like to pray about it? They're a bit balked at first because they don't know how to do and what happens. And I said, I'll lead you in prayer. And close my eyes and just start praying.
Yep.
I don't have to close my eyes, but I tend to. Close my eyes and start praying. Often with in a troubled time with a hand on the shoulder.
Yep.
I have never had people reject me. I've nearly always seen people break down in tears of thankfulness that somebody cares, that there is a God that can be addressed, that there is some hope. It just changes the dynamic of relationship I have with my neighbours every time. It's such a simple, little, obvious, easy thing to do.
And it bypasses all the debates and arguments we get into and goes straight into, this is a spiritual reality and this is what it's all about.
And most people in the community pray, although they don't know how to.
Right.
That is, when they're desperate, they utter up in their own head something. But to have someone who actually knows how to pray because they pray regularly.
And knows the God they're talking to.
Knows the God they're talking to. It just opens up the gospel conversation.
Okay, quick final question. Not that there's going to be a quick answer. Why do we not pray? What are the barriers? What is there stopping us from praying as well as we should and as often as we should?
There's 100 barriers, but they're all called sin. Right. You can call them Satan if you like.
Right.
That's the bottom line. I can be too busy. I can not have a quiet enough spot. I can not remember. I can. But in the end, it's just sin.
If you'd like to know more about prayer, there is a terrific book that I can recommend because it was written by this bloke. It is called Prayer and the Voice of God, a fabulous book. If you'd like to know more of Philip's wisdom than can be squeezed into 28 minutes, this is the book you need, Prayer and the Voice of God. Philip, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
And thank you for your company. We'll see you again next time on The Chat Room.